Hey, first things first, listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, just a click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. Now let's start the show. James Harden saying he wanted out of Houston, and yesterday his wants came true. James Harden heading to Brooklyn to join Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. It took four teams and a truckload of draft capital to pull this off, as they sent three firsts, four pick swaps, and players to the Rockets, Pacers, and Cavs. Yada, yada, yada. They get former MVP James Harden back in return. Now, Nick, you tweeted yesterday right after we went off the air that things were heating up on the Harden front. Go ahead and break down this whole deal for us, because there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of teams involved.
Yeah, all day yesterday, the scuttlebutt around the league was that this was going to happen. Boston and Miami kind of tapped out of the deal relatively early. Shockingly, Boston didn't want to actually put any good players in a trade.
Okay.
Philly, though, was hot and heavy after James Harden. Ben Simmons was prepared to be traded, which is why Brooklyn had to give up everything they legally were allowed to give up. You might say, oh, they kept Joe Harris. They weren't allowed to trade Joe Harris. Oh, they kept DeAndre Jordan. Nobody wanted DeAndre Jordan. They gave up everything. So let's show what everybody gave up, and then we'll show what everybody got. Obviously, the Rockets give up James Harden. The Nets give up all of those players, their depth, their entire control of their draft over the next 7 years. And the Cavs and Pacers, quietly, by the way, both huge winners just for being involved. So that's what everyone gave up. Here's what everyone got in return. And what we're going to focus on, obviously, is the Nets and the Rockets. So the Nets get James Harden back. The Rockets get those players. You might say, wait, they didn't want Caris LeVert. Wait, they could have had Ben Simmons. More on that in a moment. More importantly for the Rockets, they get four first-round picks, three from the Nets, one from Milwaukee that Indiana had control, or the Cavs had control of, and four pick swaps, meaning 4 years where if the Nets are worse than the Rockets can trade picks. So let's zoom in on one team. What did the Rockets give up? What did the Rockets get? They obviously gave up Harden. They get Dante Exum, who happens to be on an expiring contract, Victor Oladipo, who happens to be on an expiring contract, Kurux, and of course the draft capital. So this was, you know, if you're a pessimist, you would say Tillman Fertitta, who's not exactly the most, let's call it, liquid owner in the league right now, saves a bunch of money, gets under the salary cap, and it's a full-on rebuild. If you're an optimist, it's, well, they just liked Oladipo more than Caris LeVert. What did the Nets give up? What did the Nets get? The Nets obviously gave up, well, all of their depth. And I'm very interested to hear what Brandon has to say about that, because I know how much Brandon liked the Nets bench mob previously. They also give up all their draft picks. The Nets obviously believe those draft picks are going to be in the late 20s because they're going to be competing for championships. What they get is James Harden, and don't worry about that Cleveland pick. So that's what happened here. And Brandon, to me, this signaled a couple of things. One is that the Nets, with the uncertainty surrounding Kyrie Irving, with the injury to Spencer Dinwiddie, they said, you know what? What we currently have is not going to be good enough, and we have to go all in on having the only, there's no big threes in the league now, except for in Brooklyn if and when Kyrie returns. The biggest question is, Brandon, aside from on the defensive side of the ball, I feel a bad team got worse defensively. The question is, how is the fit going to work when Harden has been the best player on a team for a decade? Now he's got to take a step back. How is Kyrie coming back? Is Kyrie going to be the third star, or do they even think Kyrie's going to be a part of it? Those are the questions. But before they had James Harden, Brandon, this was the team you picked to win the title. Do you think they got better worse or stayed the same yesterday?
Is that a rhetorical question?
No.
We got better. Of course we got better. In today's game, it's about scoring the basket. You know that. Who cares about defense? There's three teams in the entire NBA that plays defense right now. So, of course, we got better. And I don't think it's going to be a big three. So I'll say that right now. I truly believe, and this is all me and my experience as a player and being around a lot of players, training guys since 2012. I think Kyrie's contemplating retirement. I don't think he's coming back. You can tell just how Nash has answered questions. You know, well, I'm coaching the guys who are here. And, well, I haven't heard from him. That was on the onset. So when you look at this deal, this is a really good deal for the Nets and everybody else. You know, they got richer with some draft picks. But at the end of the day, it's about winning championships. And I said this at the beginning. I said, look, if he wants out, Wilds, he's going to get out. And you and Nick and everybody else and Chris, well, Brandon, the team, they have all the leverage. The leverage. I said, look, the player, yes, they may have all the leverage now, but the player, if they stop playing or if their back hurts, they'll get out. And a lot of people are upset about how James Harden went about it. But put yourself in his shoes for 1 minute. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to disagree. I just want you to see the whole picture. You're in your 12th year. You did everything else. You don't have any ring. And you're thinking about, do I go chase that ring or do I stay here, don't win? I'm celebrated in Houston, but I'm also on that list with Charles Barkley as one of the greatest players to play the game and never go to a champ, never win a championship. So James Harden had to make that decision. And he had to use the only leverage he had, and that's his dribble. That's his shot. That's what he does on the court with his teammates. You take that away and you make it really, really uncomfortable. That's what the Houston Rockets said they wanted to do. And they wasn't willing to go deep. Because when you got DeMarcus Cousins standing up before the trade happens and saying, you know what? The disrespect happened and started before today. That's what he said.
That's right.
So that locker room was uncomfortable. That entire organization was uncomfortable, Wilds. So I think, look, at the end of the day, 20 years from now, we will not be talking about James Harden and his exit from Houston. What we will be talking about is how James Harden paired up with KD, won a championship, and how he went down as one of the top and greatest players in NBA history. That's what we'd be talking about.
You're 100% right. We're not going to talk about James Harden's exit from Houston on Friday. Today's the last day anyone cares about that. You're 100% right. It'll just be like Anthony Davis's ugly exit from New Orleans that no one has mentioned since the last 2 seconds that I mentioned it, and they'll never mention again. Okay, Nick, here's the big question I have. I want you to answer this. Who wants to be Chris Bosh? Who wants to be the guy who sacrifices their personal statistics for a championship? The most famous Chris Bosh, of course, was Chris Bosh. 24-11 in Toronto, goes to Miami, goes 19-9, wins two championships, famously scored 0 points in a game seven. I guess you could say that's a positive because he didn't need to carry the load. On the other side, it's like, we're going to do it without you. Ray Allen, old Supersonics Ray Allen, 26 points a game, getting 21 shots, goes to Boston with the great Paul Pierce, who I know you love, goes 17 points, 13 shots a game, and he ends up getting two rings, never scores 20 again. Kevin Love, who's scoring 26 points, 12 and a half rebounds in Minnesota, goes to see your buddy, wins a championship, goes for 16-10. By the way, still in Cleveland, still hanging out in Cleveland, still hasn't been, I expect him to be moved. So out of the big three right now, and Brandon, you hinted at the retirement thing. I don't know if that's on the board.
Well,
but certainly hey, buddy, come
let's
back.
Let's assume
we
they're
want
together.
You to now sacrifice even more.
So here's the thing. The problem is this, Wilds. There is only one player of those three, because let's just assume, I agree with Brandon, it is far from a certainty that Kyrie Irving, when the playoffs start, is going to be on the Brooklyn Nets, whether it's because he gets injured, because that is part of his history, unfortunately, he retires or he's traded. But let's just assume they're all together, because currently they all are on the same roster. The only guy whose game is equipped to be that third guy is Harden. You can't ask Kevin Durant to do it. He's the second best player in the entire sport. Kyrie Irving only does one thing well. You can't say, Kyrie, we want you to play defense and distribute. He's not a great passer. He's an abjectly bad defensive player. His entire job, his utility as a basketball player, is cooking. Uncle Drew, get guys off the dribble, make tough shots, twist and get to the line or get to the rim. Harden has won an assist title. Harden has been a sixth man. Harden has come off the bench. Harden also claims, all I care about is a championship. So Harden should be the guy to sign up for that role. I do not know that he is signing up for that role. And listen, if I'm the Nets, I would have made this move as well. Because the elephant in the room actually isn't an elephant, it's a king. And it's all about LeBron. What Durant understood was, in the last decade, if you want to beat LeBron James, you got to have a minimum. The barrier to entry is 3 Hall of Famers. We currently have 2, and one's on sabbatical. So they had to make the bet, because I disagree with Brandon. As previously constituted, they couldn't win the title. But what they had to put in the ante in order to make that bet is their only good defensive big man. And now they are. Brandon can say defense doesn't matter. Come the playoffs, it does. The Nets bet, Jenna, is that they can be the worst defensive team to ever win the title. If Kyrie, Harden, and KD all get on the same page and they gel and Kyrie shows back up, they might be able to do it. You might get 75 points a game from those three guys, and that'll be all that matters. Yep. But it is a hell of a bet, and it is far from a sure thing.
All right, so how good are the Nets now? What about Ben Simmons? What about the way Harden left? We got 1,005 more angles to the story. We'll hit all of it over the course of the next 2 hours. And I will get a question in. But we got to take a turn, talk some football. Ravens and Bills on Saturday. But which quarterback would you rather have under center? We discuss. It's next. First things first.
What's up, first thing first, listeners? It's your boy, Shea Sharp, co-host of FS1's Undisputed. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shea Shea, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation. And as host and proprietor of Club Shea Shea, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shea Shea is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shea Shea now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now, back to first things first.
We got to start here in the national championship game last night. Alabama, Ohio State, and the best team remains the best team. Nick Saban's Crimson Tide back on top. Mac Jones finished with 5 touchdowns, 3 to the Heisman winner, Devontae Smith, who was just unguardable, for lack of a better word, until leaving with a hand injury in the second half. So let's start there. Since Devontae's next stop is the NFL, Brandon, our resident wide receiver, is Devontae a can't-miss NFL star?
Absolutely, Jenna. If you asked me this 6 years ago, I would have probably said I need to see more, right? Meaning, when you make that transition from college to the NFL, it's hard. But nowadays, these wide receivers are coming in and impacting the game right away because of flag football, because they have access to Chad Ochocinco's drills that he does in the offseason on YouTube and Instagram, and Odell Beckham Jr. and Stephon Diggs. So absolutely. Who is this guy? This is Torrey Holt. But his savviness, this is Ochocinco and his route running. This is Stephon Diggs and his explosiveness, being able to stop and start, and his agility to shift gears. He's also Devontae Adams from a playmaker standpoint. This dude can do it all. I don't want to put him in a box, but the thing that makes him really special and separates himself from everyone else, Nick, is his humility. This is a superstar. I knew he was special when he called me and he said, Brandon, please connect me with Ocho. I want you two to show me how to be a pro. Show me how to be better on the field. I said, kid, I don't know if I can show you how to be better on the field, but I definitely can show you how to take care of your body. I can show you how to play 13, 15 years. This dude is special, Wilds.
All right, so Brandon, my question is, he looks like he's can't miss prospect, and I hope he succeeds. Why are there so many sneaky great wide receivers who succeed in the NFL? So if he goes super high, here's a list of some guys who went scattered, we'll say. Devontae was 53 overall. DK was 64 overall.
Yep.
Stephon was 146. Tyreek was 165. Of note, blast from the past, Brandon Marshall was 119 overall. And Hall of Famer Julian Edelman, 232. So I had put together a pie chart that I wanted you to sort of get your take on. I don't think it's right, but it's just what my gut was. Can we throw up the pie chart? I'm claiming scheme, 45% of it, where you go into the league like, oh, good news, I'm Devontae Adams. I'm with Aaron Rodgers, great. I should probably put that under QB. So blue is QB, 15%, and skill, 40%. What's your take on this? Is this close or, you know, also full transparency, I texted this to Brandon, you know, pre-show.
Yeah.
He didn't just automatically make a graph.
But look, you know what I like about your graph, your pie chart, Wilds, is that you have the quarterback position at 15%. A lot of people would make that probably the biggest pie, part of the pie on this chart.
Yeah.
So you got that right. But you missed a few things. You missed mental fitness. So you got to throw that on there. And you also got to throw the Robin. So when you text me this over, I actually fixed it for you, right? So mental fitness. You guys got that lime green on there. That's good. That means mental health awareness. Why is mental fitness big? Because every time we talk about the wide receiver, we talk about them being divas. We talk about them being malcontent. We talk about, you know, their reactions to the sideline when things aren't going their way. I was a guy the first part of my career that didn't get this part right. If you are a wide receiver, you got to understand your talent only takes you so far. You're the only position on the field that your success lies in everyone else's hands. So you got to be able to control your emotions. So this is the most important thing. And then you have skill. Skill is important. Obviously, if you can't catch the damn ball, you can't play wide receiver. Then let's go to scheme. If I went to the Wildcat offense, to the Miami Dolphins instead of Mike Shanahan, the West Coast, and being in that type of offense, I probably wouldn't average 100 catches, you know, in my first couple of years. And then the quarterback. Look, a lot of people are like, Brandon, why do you have the quarterback so low? Shouldn't it be 30, 35%? No, I play with 17 quarterbacks. It's about how you work with the quarterback. You don't need the top dog. You don't need a top five quarterback to be successful at the wide receiver position. You guys just have to be on the same page. And the last thing, Wilds, is the Robin effect. I call this, you have to have this. My uncle sat me down when I went from running back to wide receiver. He said, Brandon, you're only as good as the guy on the other side. So the Eddie Royals of the world, the Eric Deckers of the world, the Alshon Jeffries
Robin
of the world.
To your
when
Batman.
I'm getting double, correct.
Yeah,
okay. That's right. There you go, Nick.
I got it.
So when I'm on the other side and I'm getting double, Nick, I need the guy on the other side to get his job done so they can start giving me more room and I can play one-on-one.
Yep.
So I think this is the correct success pie, Wilds.
So I'm not gonna argue with Brandon's pie. I would be one of the people that would say quarterback should be bigger. I think Brandon's perspective is, I think skill and quarterback on that pie need to, for every receiver, take up 40%. And the fact of the matter is, the more skill you have, the smaller percentage the quarterback matters. So for a guy like Brandon's skill set, I understand why it's
point.
Like, well, I can succeed with 17 different quarterbacks. But with certain guys like, I don't know, fake Hall of Famer Julian Edelman, he can only succeed with an awesome quarterback. So for Edelman, it's like 2% skill, 38% quarterback. For Brandon, a different
Get
way.
Off my guy.
But I've got a different question, because what we've heard with the draft, the reason running backs don't typically go high as of late, is because, you can get a great one in the third, fourth, fifth round. And Wilds was kind of alluding to this, but I want to take it a step further. Because Devontae Smith is probably going to be the first wide receiver taken. And he should be. By the way, if people weren't watching last night, that stat line is the first half. He messed up his knuckle in the very beginning of the second half. Didn't play. He legitimately could have had a 400-yard, 6-touchdown championship game. But if we look over the last few years, the first few wide receivers taken in the draft are not the guys who would be taken if you had to do it over again. This past year, I'm not saying Ruggs and Judy, two Bama guys, by the way, aren't going to be very good, but I think it's fair to say Justin Jefferson, if you had to do it again, would go first, and you could argue yep. Claypool would be the next guy off the board. The previous year, the two best receivers, I think, were both the Ole Miss guys, A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf. But who are the first wide receivers taken? It's N'Keal Harry and Hollywood Brown. A couple years prior, you had three wide receivers, Brandon, go super high. I'm doing it off the top of my head. But Corey Davis, Mike Williams, and the Ross kid, who is now bounced around the league. There were really good wide receivers in that draft. None of them considered John Ross. John Ross, who went to Cincinnati,
and now he's not with Cincinnati anymore.
I think he was like the ninth pick. Why do you think now we're in a spot where there are, I think we have more excellent receivers in the league right now than ever before, but it's not necessarily the guys who are being taken profiling as an excellent receiver, the way DeVonta Smith obviously will profile out as an excellent receiver. Why do you think that's happening?
Well, it's because of what Wilds presented to us, that pie chart. Like, think about it. DK Metcalf, you're right. He probably was the best guy in that draft, but there was a big question mark around him when it came to his route running ability. At the top of the route, instead of coming out of his route in five steps, he was coming out 7-8. But Wilds hit it on the head. If you put DK Metcalf with Aaron Rodgers, he goes from 1,200, 1,300 yards to potentially 1,600, 1,700 yards, right? So you got to think about scheme. You got to think about quarterback. There's so much to go into it. Hollywood Brown, he's in an offense that went for 3,000 yards rushing on the, like 3,000 yards rushing the last 2 years. So if you put him in a better situation, what could he possibly do? So I think there's a lot to it. But to your point and how you laid out what guy went where, I think you're dead on there. Like, if you can do it again in retrospect, I think the drafts the last couple years will be different.
Very different.
All right. Again, for the sixth time under head coach Nick Saban, the Alabama Crimson Tide are your national champions. We are moving on to the NFL now. Add another name to the head coaching vacancies, the surprising firing of Doug Peterson. It's next. This is First Things First.
Oh,
I've got an Alabama team coming up later.
Hey, First Things First listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to First Things First.
Back here on a Wednesday morning, just after 8 a.m., the committee normally unveils its esteemed NFL tiers at this time, but after the final meeting of the football season, it is time for the updated playoff bracket. All right, Nick, what do you got for us today?
All right, so listen, the committee does this every year at this time. Once we get down to the final eight, we get rid of the tiers and we just give you what's going to happen. All year long, we've given you the blueprint to know what's going to happen. We now put it into action. So please show the bracket as we see it now, and we'll give you the committee's prognostication on what's going to happen. One of these games there was significant argument on. Packers-Rams.
Yes.
Too much offense. We know the Rams got the number one defense, but are we really going to have Goff, Wolford go into Lambeau and beat Aaron Rodgers? The answer is no. Advance the Packers, please. Saints-Bucks. We've seen this game twice already this year. The committee, however, feels that this game is going to go slightly differently. The first game was a blowout. The second game, a total laugher. Saints up 31-0 at halftime. The committee feels this game will be in the balance in the fourth quarter. But the Saints will advance. Advance them through the bracket. That's where it ends for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Chiefs-Browns. Is a laugh for the Chiefs are going to win by a lot. The committee said, I need to explain why I said I have too much loyalty to the city of Cleveland. Browns fans, just advance Chiefs, please. Thank you. All right, Bills-Ravens. You might say, Nick, the committee, it's awful chalky.
Yeah.
You got a favorite, a favorite, a favorite. Never have a divisional weekend where all four favorites win. You're correct. The Baltimore Ravens have the better coach. They have the better quarterback. They have the better defense. Advance the Ravens. The committee has the Ravens going to Buffalo. No snow in the forecast and advancing the Ravens. Brandon Marshall, that oh my goodness, that's why you're not on the committee next year. We thought about it, now you're out. Packer sex. This is potentially a Mount Rushmore game. What do I mean? Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. Brady, Montana, Manning. Who's in that fourth spot? A lot of argument, a lot of question. Kind of open. The winner of this game will have the opportunity to put themselves in that fourth spot. Rodgers or Breeze wins the Super Bowl this year, they're on the Mount Rushmore. Aaron Rodgers is going to get that opportunity. They beat the Saints. Brandon Marshall's preseason prediction of the Saints falling apart in the playoffs happens a week later than he thinks it's going to happen, but it will happen. Chiefs-Ravens. This terrifies me. The committee said, Nick, the Chiefs have never lost to the Ravens. The Chiefs have never lost to Lamar. The Chiefs haven't lost to a playoff team all year. And I said, the Ravens are petrified. The Ravens, I picked the Ravens to beat the Chiefs for the year. I picked the Ravens to be the toughest out in the playoffs. I am rooting for the Bills in that previous game. I'd rather play them than the Ravens. I think that would be a great AFC championship game. A game the Ravens have the lead in the fourth quarter until a Mahomes comeback. Advance the Chiefs. And then finally, Packers Chiefs. If we get that game, the greatest quarterbacking duels, the greatest quarterbacking matchups in Super Bowl history. Bradshaw Staubach a couple times. Montana Elway in the 80s. Peyton Breeze. This would be the greatest. Ooh. Rodgers and Mahomes, the two most talented quarterbacks in the history of football, dueling it out. And? Both trying to get their second Super Bowl. Committee overruled me. I wanted to go Packers. Committee said we got to go Chiefs. Chiefs Super Bowl champions. There's the committee's playoff bracket. Wow. Mark it in. Mark it in, Brandon Marshall. This is how it's going to go. So says the committee. What say you?
All right. First, can you just admit that there's no committee and it's literally just you? And let's throw that bracket back up. Leave the bracket up there. No. Nick, just admit that it's just you. Please. Can we do that?
No, God, no. How can I admit that?
Hold on.
Let me respond to that scurrilous allegation. Brandon has a lot of success in his life. He's got amazing projects, owns companies, runs businesses, all these things. It hurts his heart that there could be a committee of 12 that he's not included in. So he has tricked his brain into thinking, it must be make-believe. It must be fake. I couldn't not be on it, it must not exist.
I truly believe.
Exists. Go ahead, Brandon.
I truly believe it's just you and Lil Wayne and maybe Maverick Carter. But anyways, I'm going to talk through a few things. Let's start on the AFC side. You have the Chiefs and the Browns. Nick, you're doing the same thing that the Steelers did. They're overlooking the Browns. The only thing I'm concerned about is Patrick Mahomes throwing it all over the place, but this is going to be a really good game. This is a team that you stood on the table for all year long. Don't give up on the Browns now, Nick. I know you're from Kansas City and you love this team, but you have to be fair and you have to be honest. Let's also go down to Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. The concern here and where this game is going to be won is in the trenches, Wilds. You got to look at what Baltimore does well and what Buffalo, they struggle at. And that's the run game.
Running the ball.
The run game, this Baltimore team is phenomenal. But the Buffalo Bills are just okay. There is some hope there because of what they did against the Indianapolis Colts and stopping Jonathan Taylor, who has been lighting it up the last 8 weeks. Yep. But I truly believe that the Buffalo Bills will get it done because what they have in all three phases, probably the most complete team in the playoffs right now. So I have the Buffalo Bills advancing. And I also have the Buffalo Bills really challenging the Chiefs, but I'll hold, my pick till next week. Let's go to the NFC side, Nick. Wilds, there's only two people in the world that picked the Rams over the Packers. That's you and Ray Lewis, buddy. That's it.
Yes.
But I think there's some hope there because when you look at defense,
great
man, that defense is phenomenal. They can get it done. They can really challenge Aaron Rodgers. But I'm with Nick on this one. I don't see Wofford and small hands golf advancing. I just don't see that. Now, oh, my goodness, Nick. The Buccaneers. You know who they got at quarterback?
The Buccaneers.
They got the GOAT.
Jameis.
They got Tom Brady.
That's right. They got rid of Jameis.
This is the hottest he's been in his entire career. The guy is 43 and getting better. Look, if this dude advances, you have to embrace the TB12 method. Completion percentage, all-time high. The last four games of the season. Passing yards, passing TDs, passer rating. I'm telling you, and I've been telling you, this dude is on a mission. He looks better. And now the numbers just back it up. I don't know what you have to say to this, but the numbers don't lie. You use numbers all the time. And I've been saying, Nick, this dude is on a mission. You can see how he's moving in the pocket. You can see how he's following through with the football. This dude looked like he took 10 years off his age. Tom Brady will get it done.
I don't think.
Don't pick up the dope. What is it called?
Don't pick it up.
Don't pick up your notes.
I just want to say, Brady has really looked excellent since the bye. He has 5 weeks in a row, and the first four I dismissed it because of the defenses. Last week against Washington, he was excellent. It's a shame he's going to go 0-3 against the Saints. What up, Wilds? What do we got?
All right,
what do
we got, Wilds?
Well, good day, Ms. Wolf and Mr. Marshall and the gentleman from Kansas City. Is I, Kevin Wilds, delivering the following petition with a heavy heart. I regret to inform you, but on his way back from Los Angeles, Michael was hit by a wind turbine and lost a
Brandon?
And lost a wing. But luckily, we have his brother Theo here to deliver the latest petition on why the Rams will defeat the Packers. FOMO, Theo.
Well, now Theo's got to.
Rams beat the Packers?
Reason number one, Article A, I mean, unstoppable pass rush. Last week, Aaron Donald had 5 sacks. Not Aaron Donald, the whole team had 5 sacks. They had 10 QB hits. On Russell Wilson. Is that going to happen to Aaron Rodgers? I think so. Article number two. If you are able to survive the pocket, guess what? Bad news. There's Jalen Ramsey. Fewest passing yards all year. We know that. Jalen Ramsey. Oh, what about DK Metcalf? Oh, DK Metcalf put up a Larry Bird type performance. 33 yards when guarded by Jalen Ramsey. Davante Adams, get used to it. Watch that game. Reason number three. Cam Akers and somebody, I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe it's Jared Goff with, it's not an injured thumb, bionic thumb. It's like Iron Man now. Boom, throw it out there, even though you had less than 200 yards. Cam Akers, though, big game. What do you have? 131 yards.
Woo, what do you have?
Nicholas, I don't know if the Packers run defense is going to be that good. So, Rams over Packers. You heard it here first from your bold buddy, Kevin Wilds, and Theo, who's in for an injured Michael. Sorry.
Just real quick.
He himself
you
is
might have
injured.
Swayed the committee. Jenna, he may have swayed the committee had he made the point that the committee really was worried about, which is it's going to be very cold in Green Bay. What happens when you're cold? Your hands swell. Could swollen hands give Jared Goff normal-sized hands, and then maybe he's better? We don't know. We need to talk to some experts on that.
Horrible analysis.
But the committee decided that the Packers
Between the hands and losing Michael to an air turbine, I can't handle what happened at the end of the segment. We got to get back to the NBA now, where once again Kyrie Irving was not on the floor with his teammates last night. We'll have the latest on Kyrie. It's next. It's First Things First. Good day.
That's a real issue. A lot of birds get hurt.